From NPR News in Washington, I'm Renita Jablonski. The government of Sudan has signed a peace agreement with one of the main rebel groups in Darfur, but another key rebel faction is refusing to enter talks with Sudanese authorities. NPR's Ophabia Quisarkton has more.
Sudan's President Omar Hassan al-Bashir said his government had reached an accord with the Justice and Equality Movement, the strongest of the Darfur rebel factions. The interim deal is seen as an important step towards resolving the seven-year Darfur conflict. The agreement starts with an immediate ceasefire and a framework for future negotiations. However, another rebel group, the Sudan Liberation Army Abdul Wahid, which is pivotal to peace in Darfur, will not talk to the government. The UN says the war, which Washington has called genocide, has cost more than 300,000 lives and displaced 2.5 million people. The International Criminal Court is seeking the arrest of President Bashir on Darfur war crimes charges. Ophabia Quisarkton, NPR News, Accra.
U.S. Marines and Afghan soldiers advanced through poppy fields today in the town of Marjud, southern Afghanistan. NATO troops continue to engage in gun battles as they try to oust Taliban fighters from their last major stronghold in Helmand Province. Afghan President Hamid Karzai is urging NATO to do more to protect civilians. At least 16 civilians have died in the operation. Pakistan, meanwhile, says it's killed at least 30 militants in its remote northwest near the border with Afghanistan, where U.S.-led forces are battling the Taliban. Pakistani officials say the militants were killed in an airstrike. Veer Singh reports from New Delhi.
Pakistan's military says the latest offensive against Taliban fighters was in the mountains between the country's north and south Waziristan regions near the Afghan border. Officials say the airstrike was ordered after they received intelligence reports that militants had gathered there. Pakistan, a key U.S. ally, has stepped up operations against the Taliban in its own country and across the border. Earlier this week, Pakistan announced the arrest of a top Afghan Taliban official. The U.S. military, which is fighting a ground and air war in Afghanistan, has increased the number of missile strikes in northwest Pakistan. U.S. officials say members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are using the region to stage attacks. For NPR News, I'm Veer Singh in New Delhi.
The White House is getting ready to reveal its latest health care overhaul proposal. The new draft's expected to include modifications of features in a bill passed by Senate Democrats last year. The proposal will be released a few days before President Obama's televised bipartisan summit on health care. The president today, in his weekly address, urged Democrats and Republicans to come together and find common ground. This is NPR News. States across the U.S. are struggling with gloomy economies, and the worst is yet to come. That's a message from the chairman of the National Governors Association. The group's holding its annual meeting in Washington. In budgets they're drafting for fiscal 2011, states see shortfalls of nearly $54 billion. For fiscal 2012, nearly $62 billion. Governors say they're dealing with declining tax collections, soaring Medicaid costs, and high unemployment rates. Former Secretary of State Alexander Haig, who became White House Chief of Staff during the Watergate scandal, died at Johns Hopkins Hospital today. He was surrounded by his family. Haig suffered from a staph infection he acquired before entering the hospital. NPR's Allison Keyes reports.
The four-star general served as top advisor to three presidents, and he himself mounted a campaign for the nation's top office, but dropped out of the race in 1988. In 1973, Haig helped then-President Nixon prepare his defense as the Watergate scandal blossomed, and he was widely credited with persuading Mr. Nixon to become the first U.S. president to resign. Haig also served the Ford administration and was President Reagan's Secretary of State, but he never lived down his response to the 1981 assassination attempt on Mr. Reagan.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President, and I'm in close touch with him. If something came up, I would check with him, of course.
Haig is survived by his wife of 60 years, Patricia, three children and eight grandchildren. He was 85 years old. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Venus Williams has successfully defended her Dubai Championships title. It's her 42nd career singles titles win. I'm Renita Jablonski, NPR News.